Hi, welcome to another We React to Something thing. And this is something that Rimi wanted to show me. Could you like introduce it a bit?
So the showing will now commence. So I found this thing on the internet. It's called The Parable of 10 Men in a Bar. And I thought you would really enjoy it. It's really long and your voice is, I think, nicer than mine. So why not you read it out for the audience?
Your voice is very nice also. I'll just read it.
Please don't interrupt me.
So I haven't seen it. You've seen it, right?
Yes.
And then I'll just read it and I react to it.
Yes.
Okay. Suppose that every day 10 men go out for beer and the bill for all 10 comes to $100. If they paid their bill the way we pay our taxes, it would go something like this. The first 5 men, the poorest, would pay nothing. The 6 would pay $1. The 7 would pay $3. The 8 would pay $9. The 9th would pay $21. And the 10th man, the richest one, would pay $66. So basically, the poorer you are, the less you pay. The richer you are, the more you pay. So that's what they decided to do. The 10 men drank in the bar every day and seemed quite happy with the arrangement until one day, the owner of the bar threw them a curve. He said, "Since you are all such good customers, I'm going to reduce the cost of your daily beer by $20. So this is the whole bill, right? So drinks now cost just $80 total for all 10 men. The group still wanted to pay their bill the way that we pay our taxes. So the first 5 men will still drink for free. But what about the other 5? The paying customers, how would they divide the $20 extra windfall from the owner so that each would get his fair share? They realized that $20 divided by 5 is $4. But if they subtracted that from everybody's share, then the 6 and the 7 men would each end up being paid to drink his beer. So, the bar owner suggested that it would be fair to reduce each man's bill by roughly the same amount, and he proceeded to work out the amounts each should pay. And so, the 5 poorest men still pay nothing to drink. The 6 men, like the first 5, now paid nothing, which is 100% saving. The 7th man now paid $2 instead of $3, a 33% saving. The 8th man now paid $6 instead of $9, a 33% saving as well. The 9th now paid $16 instead of $21, a 23% saving. And the 10th now paid $56 instead of $66, a 15% saving. So, each of the 5 was better off than before. And the first 5 continued to drink for free. But once outside the bar, the men began to compare their savings. So the 7th man says, "I only got €1 out of the $20. He pointed to the 10th man. "But he got $10. "Yeah, that's right," exclaimed the 6th man. "I only saved €1 as well. It's unfair that he got 10 times more than me out of the windfall." "That's true," shouted the 8th man. "Why should he get $10 back when I get only 3? The wealthy get all the breaks." "Wait a minute," yelled the first 5 men in unison. "We didn't get anything at all. The system exploits the poor." The 9 men surrounded the 10th and beat him up. The next night, the 10th man didn't show up. So the 9 had beers without him. But when it came time to pay the bill, they discovered something important. They didn't have enough money between all of them for even half of the bill. And that's how our tax system works. The people who pay the highest taxes gets the most benefit from a tax reduction. Tax them too much and they just may not show up anymore. We should be doing more for our poor, but attacking income tax breaks as inequitable is not the way to go. We do far more than give the poor tax breaks. We don't tax them in the first place. So that's the story.
So how do you feel about this parable?
I feel the most immediate first thing is I think of is that what we usually talk about, which is that the rich don't complain, the rich just leave. Because
the rich don't suffer, the rich just leave.
The rich don't suffer, the rich just leave. So then who will suffer at the end? Actually, it is that the remaining 9 men who actually, in this way, it seems like actually the 10th man was actually subsidizing all of them for the basic ability to even have beer. Because after the 10th man leaves, they can't even pay for it. But also I'm thinking like, why they divide it like that? Can't it just be like everybody just pay the same amount? Because it's beer, right? But it's an analogy for tax. That's why it's divided.
Because
like
it's based on the progressive tax
system. So the more you earn, the more you pay. Right? So then what is the intention of this? Like reading this, it seems to me that the intention is to basically say, be careful when it comes to villainizing the rich and their ability to get tax cuts.
I think
because there are choices everywhere. There are different pubs or different countries that they can go to, right?
So this is a right wing, more right wing parable.
Definitely, yeah.
So it's used as a way to tell people why progressive taxes don't work.
Yeah.
What you are getting wrong about the taxation system and why the rich deserve their
tax cuts.
So I think that's the intention of this parable.
I feel like tax cuts at some point, it is like an incentive for the rich to stay here. And actually, it's important for rich people to be part of your economy because the rich people provide jobs, and also when you tax them more, that is more money that goes into the
public
system
service
for the public to use, public right? Goods. I have this feeling that people will be very upset at this because you are in a way saying that when you look at tax cuts, you can't just look at the absolute value that they get. You also have to look at the percentage. Because if you look at the percentage savings, right, actually, the 10th man actually get the least amount of savings relative to the amount that he actually paid. And I also think like, because this is just one version of progressivity, there are a lot of other different quotas in which you can adjust the rates. You know, if you skew it, for example, a little bit so that it becomes a bit more equal in terms of each, like it might completely change the math and it then might be justified for them to beat up 10 men. Because this is based on the pub owner setting this quota, the pub owner can set the progressive curve however he wants to set it.
Mm.
So in a different situation, this might actually be justified in the outcome of them beating up the guy. But actually, they should just beat up the pub owner or just don't go to this pub, right? But they probably have no other option.
What I might take away from this parable is that people should understand the mechanics of
taxation.
The taxation.
Progressive taxation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they should also be fair and realize the value that the rich and wealthy bring to them.
Yeah. Which is not a very popular thing to say, but I think it has to be said.
Yeah. I feel that is a more fair way because I think definitely we should help the impoverished.
Mm.
But it's very easy to say, let's help the impoverished.
Mm.
Next question you're going to ask after saying that.
Yeah, how do we do that?
Yeah, where does the money come from?
Yeah, yeah.
And the money comes from the rich.
Yeah.
So if no rich, no money.
Mm.
And as
well, they'll say, why poor people also pay taxes, right? But sheer amount, a lot of times, right, is just not comparable to the amount that a few rich people.
I mean, if you look at
progressive
this,
progressive tax. Yeah,
the first
in this case,
the first five people don't pay taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what I also feel is also worth saying is that these numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like it might seem ridiculous that the top 10% actually pay most of the bill, more than half of the bill.
Yeah.
It's actually quite realistic.
Because that's the sheer amount.
Yeah.
Even though there's less of them,
yeah.
When you tax it, their one is so much more than what everybody else.
Exactly. So we live in an age where there's like a lot of inequality.
Yeah.
Of income, of wealth.
And this is one of the ways that in which we can.
Yeah, so that's how vast. Okay, let's say America does eventually chase away all the billionaires.
Mm.
Then America will be left poorer for it.
And a lot of other countries will be more than happy to accept the billionaires who have a track record of being able to produce great value.
Yes.
To be able to have them come and tax them.
Yes.
Right? So they got many, many bars that will open because he's able to pay like $49, $59
exactly
every time he go and drink, right?
So the challenge governments have is to tax very, very rich people just the right amount so that they still pay taxes and they are not inclined to leave and provide like services that make it worth their time to remain in the country.
Right.
There are two extremes, right? One is the rich don't pay any taxes at all. That's messed up, right?
Yep.
Unless maybe they provide like employment opportunities.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another way they can make up if they do not pay taxes.
Because that is in a way a public good. You are giving employment opportunities, right?
Yep. The other extreme on the other hand is that they like this story, they tax too much, people just leave.
Yeah, but that letter situation is very tricky because it has to be balanced with. Because there's nine other people. And if they don't understand the situation or they don't understand that is the ultimate deciding question that we're asking. What is this right balance, right, between taxing them enough that you can give it back to everybody else, or not too much where they will just go somewhere else?
Yes.
They have to understand, people have to understand that that is the question of taxation. But if you don't understand that, all you can see is what you're paying and what you are saving from this $20 windfall. And that is, I think, the wrong way to look at it based on this example.
I think, yeah, it's a very painful way to look at things.
But I feel like if you put this out there, like, a lot of people would struggle to even accept it and look at it from a rational point of view, because the premise is so offensive to an average person that, like, it seems like the idea of taxation, like rich people avoiding taxes, is such a fundamental evil, you know, that it's very hard to even talk about this. So I appreciate something like this. You know, it's a good gateway to it.
Uncomfortable to, okay, because I am also quite left leaning. It's uncomfortable for me to read it, but I accept there's a certain truth to it.
Yeah, and I think the best way, if you are against this situation, right, and the most sort of the strongest stand you can have in this situation is if you are able to be a tenth man and you choose to let me think of how to phrase this.
So the best way, if you're reading it as someone who completely disagrees, that you become the 10%, you get tax, you know,
way more.
You pay most of the
willing
share.
To do it and set this right by paying more for everybody's share.
And be the, you know, be the change you want to see.
Yeah. And I think there are examples of people like that, but not many. Like, I think a lot of people, when you are, especially like you are the first five men who are the poorest, right, you will say all these things like, it should be fairer. But when you get to the 10th man position, I think like a very small percentage of those people who said that will actually stick to their guns and live by those values. Because a lot of time, I think also like in your quest to become the 10th man, you get a bigger picture of how things work and you understand why the equation has to be like that. And it's not a nice thing, but a lot of it is also very inevitable because it's human nature. And it's supply-demand, you know, it's things like competition and the fact that rich people have options and all these things come together to just create this very uncomfortable thing that hard to explain, but also there's no other way that I think humankind has devised yet to do this properly, right?
So I used to feel very angry about this.
Same.
But after I read that more, I was like, okay, damn, that's challenging. Also, there's a common question people ask, like, how about government just stop the rich people from leaving? You know what I mean? There's this question.
How?
Governments are all powerful. So that's the idea that many
How do you
have.
Do that?
You can't.
You cannot.
But people think that
the
it's
only,
possible.
The only government I've seen do that is North Korea.
And
when they kidnap that filmmaker because they wanted, they just really like that filmmaker's work. They kidnap this filmmaker.
Yeah.
They just force him to stay there and make films.
Serious?
Yeah.
Filmmaker from where?
I think it's from either China or America.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Wait, let me look it up real quick. Yeah.
Why would they do that? I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, so they abducted this
South Korean.
Yeah, the abduction of Shin Sang-ok and Choi Yoon-hee. So Shin Sang-ok was a famous South Korean film director who is married to this actress called Choi Yoon-hee, and they established this film studio and they made many films. Then they were abducted in Hong Kong, taken to North Korea by Kim Jong-il, and they were forced to go and make movies for them. I think they eventually escaped. It's a very interesting story. So that's the only example I've ever read of a government forcing rich people to stay. Yeah. Because I don't know, it's capital flight, right? It's your money going away.
Yeah.
And you don't want
that
to happen.
They're not exactly rich people. I mean, they're filmmakers.
Well, maybe they are rich in terms of their ability to culturally influence.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
So, even a very authoritarian government like China can't prevent capital flight.
Yeah, cannot.
So what makes you think like open economies like the US or even Singapore can do that? It's a very complex
because topic. Because wealth is power, and when you have wealth you have the power to move.
Exactly. So right now you can see it as countries are competing for the wealth of rich people so that we can tax the rich people and give it to the impoverished. At least that's what ideal government will do.
I see. So it's like a...
So
it's a soft sell to get them to come so that actually we can then provide for everybody else.
Exactly. So now, right, it has become a buyer's market. And the rich people are the buyers. The governments are the sellers. When people say, the guy sold my country to this person, sold my country. Yeah, maybe you sold a country to make more money.
So that you can have a nice country.
Yes. Of course, all this is assuming the tax dollars get put to good use.
Yeah, because there's also corruption.
Yeah, there are many countries that...
I know this very well as a Malaysian.
Oh, wow. You want to put that? You want to leave that in? You sure?
Why not?
All right.
I think it's quite a black and white thing to be able to say.
So, I think not all countries will tax and use the funds in a way that benefits everyone. So how the most impoverished receive social
welfare.
Social welfare. Mm. Got two big barriers lah.
Yep.
Can you tax the rich?
Mm. Does the money make its way to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Does it actually make its way down so you can have a flashing green man or sheltered walkways or ramps, you know?
Yeah. Or like elderly facilities. Yeah, because all this costs money.
And actually this, I also find, having travelled abroad recently, right, the things that I find that I miss the most about Singapore are all these like very basic things that actually I realise are all trickled down from a lot of times taxes. Things like when I came back to Singapore from going to Europe for a month, I took my first holiday that I ever took like since we started the business in Europe, right? And I went to like Frankfurt, which is like the capital and the richest city in a objectively rich and prosperous country, in a objectively rich and prosperous region, i.e. Europe. And like I'm like, wow, actually a lot of the basic things are not very as good as Singapore. Leh. Like the flashing green man, they don't have that, you know? It's just green and it'll be red. And I found myself like, wow, I missed this. And when I came back, I appreciated it because I'm like, well, I actually think about like the amount of work and coordination and budget that it will take to roll this out across the nation. Granted, Singapore is a small place and Singapore has to pay for being a small space also. But to roll this out is very complex. You got to negotiate with contractors, you got to find different quotes, explore different options, and then the logistics, and then also the contractors that you think on to do this stuff. Like, it's a lot of shit to do something so simple. Things like, you know, every road shoulder in Singapore, when the curb meets the road, right, there's a slope almost at every single, which as a cyclist I just freaking love. That's not so obviously like available everywhere around the world, even in prosperous places, you know. So it's this ground stuff that I really appreciate, and actually that is,
yeah, all this costs money.
All this costs money.
Why? Because it takes expertise to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's actually a very like on the ground level, you can really really see it. And I guess a lot of this stuff comes from taxation because it's a public resource. Who is going to go out of their pocket to pay for it? Everybody has to do their part. And that is taxation.
Yep. Another thing cool that I just realized recently.
Yeah.
So let's say your nation, right?
Yeah.
You cannot tax rich people, let's say 15% of the income. It's too much for them. They'll leave. What will you do to attract
rich people? As a country,
yeah.
I'll tax them less. Or I'll tax everybody else more.
Okay, so I think what many countries are doing is that they tax the rich people less.
Yeah.
But because of that, it brings in more rich people.
Yeah.
So the final tax amount is more.
You because there's more rich people to tax.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Or that's what tax cuts are. It is an incentive to attract
more rich people.
Because you can't tax them more.
Yes. So
So you
let's say I'm a country.
You posit it to me. Yeah.
I tax a billionaire 15%.
Yeah, and I go, wow, as a billionaire, I don't like it because I got a lot of other options that are taxing me less.
Yeah.
Eh.
I'm like, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I'll tax you 11%. Then you're like, oh yeah, 11% not bad, right?
I'll tell all my friends.
Yeah, so all your billionaire friends.
Hey, Elon Musk, come here. Hey, Jeff Bezos, come here, 11% only. Because 11%, like 5% of a billion is a lot of money.
Yeah, so they'll all come.
Flock, yeah.
Yeah. And then the tax... I get the tax the country gets me, and I'm the country. Is more than what I would have taxed.
Because there's more of us paying it, even though each of us pay less.
Yes.
Right.
So that's why in many major cities in the world today, there's a huge concentration of rich people, one rich people, and talent.
Okay.
Because talent produces wealth. Wealth is wealth.
Okay.
Then that fund can go into the public system.
Because from a populist point of view, you hear a lot of this argument. You will either say, hey, he's getting so little like tax, like we should tax them more. But if you tax them more, they will leave. So that's the first scenario. The second scenario is that if you then tax them less, you complain that they get taxed less. But actually, there's more money, but you don't go and acknowledge that there's more money coming in.
Yeah,
because now there's 5 billionaires instead of just 1 billionaire. And 11% from 5 is more than 16% from 1.
Mm.
So actually, you should also look at the actual thing that's the amount that you're getting, not just based on the percentage. Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah.
So recently, Singapore introduced this thing that new visa attracting people who earn $30,000 a month.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
So it's a new class of visa.
Yeah, new class of visa.
So if you earn more than 30K every month, you have a direct admission scheme, is it? It's like
kinda. I mean, you have access to Singapore, lah. So I think many people are unhappy with that.
Oh yeah, I saw you sent me a meme about it, right? Like. Yeah. They're like, 30K, like who can earn this amount of money on, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these 30K people a month people, eventually they'll be taxpayers also. Because they are in Singapore.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That you are. So what do you know the specifics of the package that they get if you sign on as part of this special admission scheme?
I do not know.
Is it less taxes?
I don't know. You wanna look it up?
Yeah, let's look it up. Singapore unveils long-term work visas to end talent crunch. Expats earning 30K a month to get 5-year work pass. Because it can be quite tall to get this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they just make it easier for you to get it. So you come here, then you maybe form ties, have a relationship, marry somebody, then there's a high chance that 30K earning people, which is quite a high salary outside of Singapore, will come here and stay so you can tax them.
Yes.
Right, so it's like it's a customer acquisition play.
Yes.
Right? Interesting.
Yeah, I think...
So people are pissed off, right? Yeah,
of course. Because they're going to raise the cost of living.
Yeah.
So like, there's the individual's point of view, then there's the business point of view, then there's the government point of view.
Yeah.
If you can think across all three, I think that will give you like a very clear overview picture. On any controversial
issue. So in this situation, it's a bit like if a pub is not able to operate because nobody covered the whole $80. Because
pub shut down.
So the pub is going to say, we are going to give you special access. You can cut the queue if you are able to pay more than $40. So that will be the pub's customer acquisition play. Otherwise, the pub has to shut down because there's nobody footing more than half of this $80 per table bill, right? Yeah. That's a bit like that.
Exactly.
Right. I see.
This also reminds me of sometimes, you know, when people have to pay for things that they might expect it to be free. So for example, if I go to a park in Australia, like it's just nature lah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to pay maybe like $16.
Admission fee lah. Yeah.
Admission fee.
Yeah.
But if I take like an individual's point of view, I'll be like,
why do I have to pay $16?
Nature is there.
Yeah.
Why do you have to charge me for it?
Yeah.
But if I adopt like from the park's point of view, it is that without hiring rangers and all.
Yeah, how to maintain.
Yeah, there will always be like this bad actors who might ruin the park for you.
Yep.
So maintenance costs money.
Yeah.
Protecting park against like bad actors costs money. You know, whether it's preventing forest fires and all that stuff.
Building facilities like toilets and taps.
Yep. All cost money.
Water fountain,
So I think end of the day, money does make the world go round in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Of course, it shouldn't be the only consideration, but it's a huge consideration if you want to do good.
Yeah. Because I think what money is essentially is like, it is productivity, value, and work put into a form that is transactable.
Yeah.
So it's not just money as a superficial thing that just corrupt people. It's also, this is how we make this stuff exchangeable. Otherwise, there's no ability for us to use each other's like respective strengths to transfer a process and pipeline things, you know, because that's what money can do for us. It makes it transactable. Then we have to understand then how that affects society and understand the big picture before we complain. I think can complain, but know the big picture before you complain.
Of course. And I feel like after knowing the big picture, the complaints will be a lot more intelligent.
Yeah, and it will be more centered around, okay, understand how the system works. When I get enough resources, I will change it because I understand the math.
Or maybe you don't need resources. You can suggest a useful way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if not, then we're gatekeeping who can change the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have a lot of money. At least you can give like how about we try this instead? Provide an alternative.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think there's any shortcomings to this parable there?
Yeah, 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 of course. I think some people will argue that with the rich people gone,
yeah,
the next rich person will come up. My feeling is that the ninth will become the 10th person, because I feel that billionaires today, the rich today, are a reflection of what our society values.
Mm. So in a way, we created Facebook because there are 1,000 variations of Facebookish things, and then we chose Mark Zuckerberg's model because it was the best to meet our needs.
Yeah, it was free.
So we created this behemoths that we hate.
We hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they solved the problem for us.
Because we didn't want to pay anything.
Right.
Because people put their self-interest first.
Mm.
And our own self-interest created, in some way, the billionaires we see today.
Yeah.
We can create like a whole different set of billionaires
by choosing
different things
to buy from a different place or to pay for our media in a different way.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's say I don't use Facebook. Right.
Mm. Friendster for life.
Yeah. So maybe there's a social media platform.
Yeah.
I have to pay $12 a month.
Yeah.
But there's no ethical concerns.
Yeah, yeah. They will not steal your data.
Yeah.
They just use your subscriber money to
exactly. Then that will be a new billionaire already.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. But will we hate this motherfucker?
I do not know. But I know it will not be Mark Zuckerberg. Probably we'll find a way to hate him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we just...
Same as Jeff Bezos and Amazon, right?
Right.
Now Amazon, they offer free shipping. They work their workers very hard.
Yep.
If there was a company who treat workers better...
But you pay them more money. Then they just use the excess money to survive. And then we support this thing.
Yeah.
Then Jeff Bezos won't be around.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos won't be around.
The way that he is, right?
But I think you touch your heart, right?
Yeah.
How many people are willing to...
To pay for properly for shipping.
Yeah.
To pay for every step, including last mile delivery, the full price.
From
right?
what I observe, only very rich people
have. I mean, like UPS, that kind, for example, like they really, it's a different process of shipping. They don't hand it to anybody else. They take care of it from beginning to finish. But
oh, no,
you pay a lot, man.
Mm.
You pay a lot. I have my bike delivered by them, and it's like, it's scary, but they do it like fast and they do it properly. Man.
Wait, doesn't Amazon use DHL? No.
Maybe they do, but like, I think you can choose also what you want.
So my point is like, successful business are what general
we
society
want,
support.
So actually, we voted for it.
So you vote with our money.
Yeah.
The ninth person...
You vote, then we hate it.
Maybe the ninth person do a new thing, sustainable thing.
Yeah, yeah.
People are like, fuck that, I don't want.
Yeah.
The 8th person comes up.
Yeah.
Does the 10% business model, which was whatever we hate now.
Yeah.
Then they become the new 10%.
Yeah, because you would like his model more, because I don't want to pay subscription to use a social media platform.
Yeah.
Right, so they got to advertise you in another way, and that's what the 8th motherfucker did.
Exactly.
Then the 9th guy like, hey, I'm trying to do it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually we vote like this.
Right out there, I'm quite sure there are many Facebook-ish things that are sustainable.
There were 1,000 probably during the time where Facebook was coming out. Yeah. There's 1,000 different variations of
exactly.
it. We chose this one.
But nobody won. Right. This is what the society has voted.
Mm.
This is what society is.
Mm.
Only society can change.
Right, so ultimately the power is with us, but not us as individuals.
Not individual, but collectively.
Us as a whole,
collective people do have power.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Cool.
My head hurts.
Is it too much? Is it too much, this thing?
For me, yeah.
Okay, okay.
But I think it was really good. Like my favorite bit was when you talked about the idea of like the 16%
to 15%
to 11%. I like the analogy a lot. It helped me a lot. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I'll use it in an article.
Yeah, thanks for sharing this. It was really cool. Yeah, my head hurts. Okay, bye-bye.